Tested live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Yes, it's my house. We're shifting gears slightly. Whew. Let's take a breather from Trump. Let's take a breather from the trade war, even though your voice notes on that theme are more than welcome. We'll play them throughout the remainder of the show. But as Gigi mentioned earlier on in her voice note, we really need to get a better understanding of what all of this means for our pockets. And tonight we thought we'd shift gears to talk about all things to do with property, our homes, the places where we rest our heads at night, and get a better understanding of rental scams that are on the rise in South Africa. And it seems as though fraudsters are using increasingly deceptive tactics to target tenants and landlords. So we thought we'd touch base with Paul Scheltema, who's the CEO of Fitzani Estates. Paul, welcome to the show. Some interesting, beautiful words, and I'm hoping I've pronounced them all correctly, from your last name to the name of the business.
You actually did. Thank you, Gugu. Very nice of you to invite me. So yeah, let's talk about the trouble we face in our industry.
100%. And thank you so much for being so flexible. I know it's been about Trump, but outside of the global politics, we appreciate that you're going to give us some insight into some of these dynamics. I'm aware that we do have a voice note or just a brief clip on show social media to share some an understanding of the scam. We're going to play that very briefly just to help add some color to this conversation. So maybe let's start there, Paul. Let's listen to this.
Property scams are really a thing, especially in Cape Town, and I am a victim of one. Basically, these people will post these things on Property 24, pretend to be like landlords, pretend to be realtors, pretend to send you all the documents, leases, everything, guys, and swear to God, they don't exist. I done got there with my moving company, you know, with two other people, to move into an apartment that someone already lives in. Go to viewings, y'all. That's all I must say. Go to viewings and trust nobody.
My goodness, that's a very scary scenario that's been put in place there, right? Essentially, a clip that we've shared from social media, TikTok, if I'm not mistaken, that gives us an understanding into the property scams that are taking place. And essentially, someone renting a property that is not even available. Paul, I'm keen to get your thoughts on this one. Is this what we see on the rise at the moment?
Yes, unfortunately it is. And my heart just goes out to this girl because there are so many in her position. These scams just become more and more sophisticated in their ways. This specifically appears online mostly, where properties, fake properties, are being advertised. They then force you into paying deposits, upfront rent, without viewing the property. It's usually advertised below market value, and when there's interest shown, they just scam. Like I said, they collect deposits, they collect rentals, and then they disappear. And when you finally rock up with your moving truck, wanting to move into this new dream place, it either doesn't exist or it is already occupied. It's absolutely terrible. And before you know it and realize it, you are conned out of thousands of your pockets. Just think a while. What do you need to pay to rent a property? You obviously need to pay a breakage deposit, which is more or less equivalent to a month or 2 months rental. You have to pay the rental in advance. You most probably have to pay a contract fee or an administrative fee for preparing the agreement, etc. And then you fork out these thousands of rands and you are out of a place. And where do you go from there? You have to start the process all over again. So it is really something prospective tenants must be aware of. The Landlord Association of South Africa, LASA, also commented on this last year, but we have definitely found that it's been increasing in the past year.
Got you. I think this is so important for us to be mindful of, Pearl, because that just that audio clip that we played from TikTok was from Tande Gadakalo Malenge. She's actually a medical doctor and a research medical officer. So this is someone who is not undereducated or unskilled or unaware of the processes and procedures that they should follow. But help us understand, how is it that these entities continue to dupe us? Is this where, I guess, viewing of the actual and physical property becomes so much more critical?
Actually, you are now touching on a very good point. And that is that when you see these properties advertised, before signing anything, before paying a single cent, demand to see the property. Mm. If there's resistance from the advertiser side, then you must know there's a red flag. So go and view this. Make sure that the company or the person you deal with is really a registered estate agent with the PPRA. Check those credentials. I think working with a trustworthy company would make it much easier, but it is not a guarantee that these things won't happen. But like I said, people take these chances, and one has to make sure. Demand all detail possible, and definitely demand to go and see the property before signing or paying anything.
Got you. And I think this has become so critical, right? Because it's in the details, it's in the small things that we typically find. And I'm also assuming that these transactions are typically rushed to say, well, if you don't sign now, if you don't pay the deposit now, you're going to lose it. And that then, you know, quickly puts us under pressure. Is that also a telltale sign to be mindful of?
Yes, for sure it is. For sure it is. On the other hand, landlords are duped as well.
You have
a prospective tenant completing all the forms and signing the lease agreement, making the first payment. Then they move into the property or they sublet the property and they stop paying rental, which leaves the landlord out of pocket as well with prolonged vacancies or unpaid rental. A very costly legal process to have the persons in the property evicted, and also possible damage caused to the property that needs to be repaired.
This makes it so much more difficult now, because now it raises questions as to who do you trust, how do you trust them, and who do you lean on for a heightened level of support. And maybe this highlights the role of professional letting agencies. Let's start there, because these are professionals who can definitely guide us. And maybe for those who might not have the flexibility, the option of having a professional letting agency, what else can they do in their own independent capacity?
Well, in their own personal capacity, I think it's going to make it a little bit difficult. Making use of a professional rental agency is the way to go, although there are additional costs at stake. A landlord appoints a rental agent to do the renting of the property on his or her behalf, but obviously there's a commission paid. So some landlords think it's cheaper to do it privately, but then they sit with all these issues and they don't know what to do about it. And like I said, having to incur legal costs can absolutely ruin you. So rather pay a little more and have the assurance that your tenants are properly vetted, that your property are looked after. And if you want to make sure, do the test. Check whether your agent is registered with the PPRA, the Property Practitioners Regulatory Authority.
This is so important, as you say, because the organizations do give you just a backup in terms of that information. Remind us of the organization you've just mentioned. Just said we, the PPRA.
Yes, it's the PPRA, short for Property Practitioners Regulatory Authority. I suppose I could call them the police of our industry. Mm-hmm. So we cannot operate as registered agents, letting or sales, without being registered, without being in possession of a valid FFC, a Fidelity Fund certificate, which is issued annually or every 3 years. And that should give some kind of assurance to either the landlord or a prospective tenant.
Got you. That remains important. interesting one. The audio clip we heard a moment ago was from a lady referencing the Cape Town property market. But we're keen to understand, are there other areas where these kind of scams have proven to be prevalent?
Well, we are based in Gauteng, and it happens here as well. And the problem we sit with is when these properties are being advertised and prospective tenants are taken out to view the property, especially the fake properties I referred to earlier, they make use of stolen keys. In the past, a few years ago, we had the arrangement that when you want to go and view a property, you come into the office, you provide us with your contact details and a copy of an ID, and pay a small key deposit of R300 or R500, go view the property, and then come back to confirm whether you want to rent it or not. And what happened then is we never heard from these people again. And when we finally arrive at the property, two families have moved in there.
Oh,
and they've only paid a key deposit of R500. How do you get rid of them? It's an awful thing. You've heard these scams with vacation possibilities as well, where people sit in Gauteng paying a deposit for a beautiful vacation to be held in Cape Town, only to arrive there and it never existed, or it's already occupied. So the same thing now applies for rental. Just think how easy it is. You go to the agency, you complete all these paperwork. It is apparently verified, in some cases not at all, but you move in, or you sublet the property to three or four other people, take their money, and then just disappear.
Gotcha.
And who sits with the problem? The landlord does.
Yeah. Paul, this obviously brings about so many questions around the platforms that we use, right? And many of us might be familiar with Property, 24, Property Wheel. There's a few others as well that come to mind when you're looking for a place to either lease out as a tenant, or if you're a landlord, listing your property to find a tenant. Help us understand, you know, what kind of role and responsibility these platforms do play in terms of verifying the posts, double-checking the property practitioner, and just the availability of the property and the tenant to actually work hand in hand.
Okay, Property 24 is very well known to advertise properties either for sale or for rent. In my opinion, they should be much more stricter. It costs me a bundle every month to advertise via Property 24. I cannot see or gather how they can allow individuals to advertise through this channel without going through the rope that we have to do. So I think there has to be much more scrutiny on who advertises and to verify this before it's actually placed on the platform.
Got you. I think this remains so, so critical. And I guess for those who then find themselves after the fact in trouble, in hot water, having lost the deposit and the money they've paid over, or even a landlord who's duped by a potential tenant, what recourse do we have?
Actually, there's only two. You could either open a case at the SAP, or alternatively take the matter to an attorney to try and recover whatever you've lost. The PPRA is, like I said, the police of our industry, and we have to be registered there. So if you have an individual that is scamming, they are not registered with the PPRA, and the PPRA wouldn't have any jurisdiction. So you are left with only one of these two choices, or actually one of three choices. Write off and move on, which is horrible. Go to the SAP, that is if you have detail available to provide to them. Or the third is to go to an attorney to say, I want my money back, make sure that you collect it for me.
My word. And are there people who have had, I guess, found great success? Because I'm also thinking, can you report it to the bank if you've paid a deposit? Can they track and trace the banking details?
No. They are very strict with the information. They all rely on the Papaya Act, which says that they're not allowed to share the information. So, no, the banks are not of any help whatsoever.
Your Paul. Now I feel discouraged.
Scary stuff.
Very scary stuff. But I guess, you know, you've shared a lot of feedback with us and you've given us a very realistic understanding of the realities that are out there. Let's talk, number one, to the prospective tenant. Remind us of at least three things we need to bear in mind before just paying over breakage fees, from 1 month rental, and finding an apartment or place to actually rent. What are the three principles or rules we should bear in mind? And then let's also wrap it up with landlords, what they should be on the lookout for, just to ensure the veracity, the accuracy, and the truthfulness of an application.
All right. I would recommend to a tenant, as I've said before, not to pay anything over before viewing the property. So that's the most important thing. Go to the property, inspect it, see if this is what needs, whether it fits your needs and whether the property actually exists. Make sure who the renter is, who the landlord is, who the agent is that is dealing with this property, so that if there's a problem, you could go back to a specific contact person to clarify some information. And don't pay anything over unless a proper lease has been signed, where you know you have a contract in hand, a valid contract that you could take somewhere to be followed up if it does not meet your expectations, or whether it comes down to either a fake property or a property not being available to rent.
Gotcha.
For the landlord, I would say, once again, vet your tenant very properly. Make sure of place of work. Ask for salary slips. Make sure that you have all the references, previous rental agreements where they've rented before. Make very, very sure that you sign with a person that is completely trustworthy. I know for a fact that that's not a guarantee. We've had many instances where all of this information is provided and we still have a factor of non-payment after they've moved into the property. So, then you sit with a fix. You've done everything you should have done and you still sit with a dud. How do you get rid of them?
Yeah.
How do you collect your rent other than getting an eviction order or appointing an attorney to collect the arrears? And that is really a very costly exercise.
My goodness, so much to consider, so much to bear in mind, and of course, just a better understanding of the consequences at hand. But the better prepared we are, the support,
yes,
and of course, speaking and working with professionals, specifically the Property Practitioners Regulatory Authority and registered property practitioners, then I'm assuming the easier it will be to navigate. So yeah, better,
definitely.
What's it? What preparation? Prevention is better than cure. That's the word that's typically used. Thank
Correct.
You,
and if yep. you see a property advertised below market value, if it looks too good to be true, it usually is.
Yeah, 100%. Pearl, thank you so much for that gentle reminder.
Okay, thank you so much for inviting me.
A delight speaking to you.
And have a good evening further.
Likewise. That's Pearl Skeltema, CEO of Fridzani Estates, giving us a better understanding of fake properties or fake tenant agreements impacting both landlords and tenants within the property space. As you've heard, if you're a tenant looking for a place to rent out, make sure you verify by viewing. Make sure you don't pay anything over until you've seen the place and a lease agreement has been put in place. If you happen to be a landlord yourself, perhaps it's best you actually do get some kind of professional support to be in place. I think this is also a different dynamic when it comes to the township property, right? Because when you are mustand, you usually use word of mouth, right? But again, vet. Just because you are, you know, in a more informal space, it doesn't mean that you can't try to find ways of formalizing the structures that you have, especially if you happen to have a property in the township. But there are ways of verifying, double checking, get their paperwork, get their documents, get their bank statements, 3 month payslip as well, just to make sure that there is a way of following through with a tenant who will be able to pay before you end up with a squatter in your property.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.